Kellogg, Adelaide, Australia, September 28, 1892. Dear brother, when the last mail came from America, I handed Willie my letters to read, and among them was yours that I had not read. This was a mistake. In the bustle of moving, they hurried me off to George Terrace, St. Kilda Road, where our school is, while some of the family remained behind to finish the work. Since coming to this place, I was reading my American mail, Willie having returned it to me, and I read your letter in which you mentioned the Mount Vernon Institute. I have written quite fully in reference to this matter to Elders Underwood and Irwin. I have placed in Elder Olson's hands letters in reference to this matter. I have, by pen and voice, borne testimony in reference to Mount Vernon Sanitarium. And if my brethren care to know that which is light in this matter, let them gather up the letters and read them. Whatever course my brethren see fit to pursue, whether in favor or against that institution, I am clear in this matter. I do not propose to shoulder any more burden unless the Lord sees fit to lay it upon me. I have felt sorrow of heart that they should act as though this testimony must be reversed, notwithstanding all the light they have had. But there stands the truth in the letters I have written. If these letters have no weight, all that I can say will be useless. If I had the book that contains these letters, I would make an effort to get the matter copied. But they are packed with my writings in Melbourne. I have a few things with me that I have accidentally come across. In a letter to Elder Irwin of Ohio, Harbor Springs, July 20th, 1891, is the following. I feel deeply burdened in regard to the indifference manifested in reference to a house of worship being secured by our people in Ohio. God has signified His will in this matter. What lies at the very foundation of the neglect? I answer, the Mount Vernon Institute. This has eclipsed higher and holier interests. You say you cannot consent that the sanitarium at Battle Creek shall shoulder the Mount Vernon Institution unless you hear from me. While in Battle Creek, I was requested to be present in the council meetings, and I spoke very plainly in reference to either the sanitarium or the conference accepting the Mount Vernon Sanitarium. Those who were present on that occasion know what I said, that I spoke not my own mind and judgment, but the light given me of God. Elder Underwood knows what I have written in regard to that sanitarium. If the written and stated matter have no influence, if they are determined to carry the matter as they choose, let them bear the burden of it. I am determined, the Lord willing, to place myself where I will not be in the turmoil and conflict. I believe I was in the line of duty the 2 years I remained at Battle Creek in active conflict, not from choice, but to stand at my post of duty. The Lord alone knows what I suffered in carrying these burdens, almost afraid to touch them, and at the same time afraid to drop them. I seemed glued to the yoke and the burdens fastened to me. And that I should pass through the sickness I have is no wonderment to me. I am clinging to Jesus. I will never let go. I have no murmuring thoughts, but I do wonder how those who knew my work could ever take the course they did to increase my burdens to such a degree. I sent off my mail, as I told you, before I read your letter, and I think I wrote nothing in reference to your brother, Merritt Kellogg. I do not feel that he should be laid aside. It has been somewhat discouraging that he has not been established and settled. But I know if he were in this country, there is plenty of work he could do, and with his knowledge of medical science, he could work his way almost anywhere. If he were a missionary in New Zealand, in the islands of the sea, he would find plenty of openings for missionary work. What has become of his wife? I have not heard of her death. My heart is full of tenderness and sympathy and the love of Christ for your brother, Merritt. I should not think it right for him to be crowded out, with no encouragement or place to work. There is enough space in the great harvest field for workers, especially for those who have the knowledge and experience that your brother has. I have always had a tender feeling in my heart for Brother Merritt, and it would please me to see him free in the Lord and prospering in some branch of the work for which he has ability to fill. May the Lord open the way before him is my prayer. I do not worry about the conference. I have not the least desire to be present. I have labored as God bid me when I was there. I am now suffering in consequence of that long season of protracted labor, when I had no rest from the burdens day nor night. I feel certain that the Lord will not order me to the front in battle, to stand, as it were, alone in the terrible conflict. I feel released as far as my actual presence in Battle Creek is concerned.
I am improving, but cannot bend my knees to pick up anything, and have not been able to kneel for the past 9 months. I came to this place just 2 weeks ago today. I am no better, as I can perceive, and no worse than prior to my coming. I began to improve while I was in Preston. We have a neat little furnished cottage for which we pay £1.05 per week. The church has hired a horse and phaeton for me, for which they pay £1 per week. We keep and care for the horse. We have much rainy weather, and we are told that this is unusual at this season. Sabbath, we had thunder and lightning in the afternoon and through the night. Many spoke of the hard thunderstorm, for they seldom have thunderstorms here in Australia. But I told them it was very mild, merely a low rumbling, but that in America we had thunder that was rushing and crashing, as though every band was broken and shivered to pieces. Then they thought they would not enjoy America. We have had but few very pleasant and sunshiny days since we have been here. Adelaide is a beautiful place, much ahead of Melbourne. Most of the houses are detached. There are some terraces, but they are the exception. The streets are broad and macadamized by stone. These stones are almost white, and make it very trying for the eyes in the sunshine. The parklands extend around the city, and in different parts of the city are little parks besides some large ones. Yesterday, May Walling and I drove into a most beautiful park. There were cultivated the pine, fir, and soft maple, and a variety of shrubbery and choice trees. There was the orange tree sending forth its fragrance nigh and far, and perfuming the air with its richness. I like the place very much. They say it is hot here in summer, but we have not suffered as yet. The houses are built of brick and stone. In many of them, fine taste and art are displayed, and the arranging of the different colors of brick so as to make them rich in appearance. There are some grand buildings here, such as hospitals and various institutions. We are living 2 miles from the business part of Adelaide. In front of us are many acres of vacant land, and a block to the right of us is the asylum, with its extensive and beautiful grounds, enclosed by a high wall. Many houses are built with a view to keep out, as far as possible, the heat and sunshine, and they have a second brick wall built about 6 or 8 feet from the house wall, with its archways in front of the doors and windows. Some of these buildings are 2 and 3 stories high. As we drive out, we see in nearly every fine place, as well as in some of the smaller places, orange trees covered with blossoms, filling the air with their fragrance, which is very enjoyable. Some of these trees have a remnant of oranges on them, as well as being covered with the blossoms. In many respects, this place brings Copenhagen forcibly to my mind. It is not nearly so large, but it is a pretty city. The church numbers 150. There are many very excellent people here, who believe and practice the truth. The first Sabbath I was enabled to speak, and I felt more natural than I had any time since I was first afflicted. The Lord blessed me as I spoke from the first 4 verses of John 14. I also spoke from the same chapter at 11 a.m. on Sunday. There was a fair congregation, and I had much freedom in speaking. One man who is studying for the ministry was present, and said he enjoyed the meeting much. "Why," said he, "how could I help but enjoy such preaching as that?" Another man, a wonderful critic, living in the same house as one of our sisters, said to her that he was going to meeting to take notes and would pick Mrs. White all to pieces. But she told Elder Daniels that he sat all through meeting with his eyes fastened upon me and didn't use his pencil once. A number of outsiders attend these meetings. Elder Daniels is here and speaks evenings. Last Sabbath we had a good congregation, and I spoke again from John 14. I had great liberty, and the blessing of God rested upon us. Then we had an excellent social meeting. Good testimonies were born, after which I spoke a few words about the human voice, the rich gift of God to us, and begged of them not to lower and belittle God's gift, but to speak clearly and distinctly, as God meant they should, when he blessed them with tongue and utterance. And the Lord said, "Ye are my witnesses." Isaiah 43, verse 10. Communicate to others the light and treasures of grace and truth which I have given to you. Elder Daniels said it was 50% better than any social meeting he had attended in the colonies. The presence of Jesus was in our very midst. I spoke again to a good congregation on Sunday at 11 a.m. The power of God was manifested in our midst. Many hearts were deeply moved, and tears were shed. I knew that it was not any power that was in me, but the Lord Himself was in the assembly. It was the Holy Spirit's power upon human hearts, and I praise the Lord for His mercy, His compassion, to the children of men. In speaking to those assembled upon the love and compassion of God manifested to the children of men, my own soul is comforted and refreshed. When I see the glow of intelligence upon the countenances, my own soul glows with love to God. I was not well. Infirmities more severe than usual had pressed upon me Sabbath and Sunday morning. But oh, how precious was the word of life to me! It was like the leaves of the tree of life healing me. After I had spoken 1 hour and 20 minutes, Elder Daniels asked me if I would speak in their missionary meeting at 5 p.m. I felt so strengthened, I said I would. So we rode home 2 miles and took dinner. Then I had a severe trial of my faith. A severe illness came upon me, and I was cramped and suffered considerable. It was as if I had been poisoned. Then the cause of all this came to me. In traveling here, I had a first-class ticket in the sleeping compartment and had the conveniences obtainable. But in the compartment next to mine, there was smoking. The poisonous atmosphere could not be excluded from our compartment, as the entrance door was of latticework and the transom of wire. After enduring it until the heart action was increased, and I felt as though a tight band were about my head, we spoke to the porter, or guard. He notified the smokers that it was against the rules and pointed to the framed notices. But as soon as the guard's back was turned, they smoked as earnestly as before. He was spoken to the second time by the guard. Then May pled with them, telling the consequences in my case, but it did no good. And what could not be cured must be endured. So I submitted to it, but the air was heavy with the poisonous odor. That night I could not sleep. A burning fever came upon me. My window from the outside was opened as high as possible. My head, heart, kidneys, and bowels have been strongly affected ever since. My head had times of throbbing with pain, and my temples and eyes pained me. This was a trying Sunday afternoon to me, and I thought I could not attend the second meeting that day. But after further reflection, I decided to go, as it would not do to disappoint them after giving them the encouragement that I would be there. I said to Elder Daniels, "I will ride down to the meeting, and if I begin to cramp, I will drive home as fast as the horse can take me." Well, I rode out, praying, and we found a goodly number present. I spoke 50 minutes on what it meant to be a child of God. It was to be a true missionary in every sense of the word. The Lord gave me tongue and utterance. I had the blessing of the Lord resting upon me, and all present seemed to be blessed. They drank in every word as if thirsting for light and knowledge. I was glad that I did not disappoint them. As soon as my duty was done, I left, and May drove the horse home to our cottage. That night, she gave me a salt glow and a good hot sitz bath, wrapped me in blankets, and put me in bed where I sweat freely. Since that, I have been better. I have not a doubt but that the tobacco caused me all that suffering. What do you think about such an experience? Large fiery blotches came out upon my bowels. This is a new phase in my experience. I have had nothing of this kind except on the boat, and then I had the same on my bowels, hips, and thighs. I have now spoken 5 times in Adelaide. Tuesday, October 11th. Elder Tenney came this morning from Melbourne. He is on his way to the conference in Battle Creek and passes through India, Palestine, Egypt, and other countries. I have just been taking a long ride to East and South Adelaide. This is certainly a beautiful place. When the rain stops, I expect to ride out considerable. I am having a spring seat made so that I can ride more comfortably. I wish I could see you and talk with you, but I have not the least inclination to go to Battle Creek unless the word of the Lord comes to me and says, "Go." My work was made so hard while I was there, and I passed through such intense mental suffering that I have not the slightest inclination to go there again. And still, I may go. I am not my own. I am bought with a price and must do the will of my Heavenly Father, even to go to Battle Creek if He says, "Go."